Today we're talking about an amazing topic. What better topic? Waking up late on Shabbos. We could just call it a day right now, right? This could have been called the anti-Hashkama day. That also would have been a way to go. But we really emerges just from a throwaway line in our Gemara. Our Gemara is talking about adding Aliyahs, Yom Kippur, Shabbos, etc. Machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel on the top of Megillah Chaf Gimel Med Aleph. And then we have a line which says, Detanya b'yom tov ma'achrin lavo u'maharin latzis. So that's Yom Tov and Yom Kippur. But really the line we're going to focus on for today, Uvishabbos Mimharin Lavo Umharin Latzis. On Shabbos we hurry to come. On Shabbos we hurry to come. So the question is, what does it mean that on Shabbos we hurry to come? So if we turn the source packets to page number one, Rashi tells us in different amounts of Shabbos Mimharin Lavo, Shekfar Tiknu Hakomi Erev Shabbos. Right, you've already made all your Shabbos prep before. You've done your grilling, you've done your baking, you've done your cooking. Everything's taken care of. And therefore, since you don't have any last-minute preps you have to do in the morning, the yafin lamar biyasun likro shema kevasikin. You get up early Shabbos morning. You know, if you're looking for the source of hashkama minyanim, it would seem that this would be it. Right. We have this line with Shabbos mharin lavo. We wake up early on Shabbos to daven kriyashma kevasikin. Vasikin, again, we want to say around sunrise, to have Kriyas Shema right before, and to say Shmona Esrei at the start of sunrise. So that is going to be the ideal. So, you know, there's this idea out there. I tried researching it this morning, that when did Hashkama Minyan start? Anyone know? Apparently in America, when people started working on Shabbos, and they needed to go to work. So they started having Hashkama Minyanim on Shabbos so that they could get to work afterwards.
What do you call Hashkama Minyan? Time-wise.
Depends what it is. Again, Hashkama Minyans now are in the sevens. Maybe when they were going to work, it started a little bit earlier. You know, certain Hashkama Minyans are before, but most of them I see are here, at least the ones by us are 7:25, 7:30. But it seems from this Gemara and Rashi that actually was already from the time of the Gemara. But Shabbos, Minhar, and Lavo means they would daven early. And similarly, the Torah in source number two starts off in Siman Reish Pei Aleph, Bishachar, Mashkim, and Lebeis HaKnesses. So, you know, some people have the custom to wake up late. But that's Rashi's telling you no, the Torah is telling you no, really, 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 you have to wake up early on Shabbos, and they have a Gemara on their side. And Rashi's read of the Gemara is not his own, it's actually quoted from Mesechta Sofer. So we have Rashi and the Torah, which tell us, wake up early on Shabbos morning, you don't have to do the prep, so get to Shul as early as you can. That's opinion number one. However, as you guys saw, and I gave you the bio to read of the Mordechai, and as you saw in the bio, the Mordechai is very important for Ashkenazi halacha, as proven by the Rama, quoting him in the next source. Right, the Mordechai notes the minhag, that there's a custom that's out there. All the days of the week, people are going early to shul, early to shul, early to shul to daven, and then all of a sudden comes time for Shabbos, and people like to sleep a little bit later, you know, kick back and relax, get an extra hour in. And that's the custom that we've seen. We're going to talk about the reason in a minute. And the Ramah, source number five, says that's the minhag. Right? The Ramah says, V'noagin Sheba Shabbos me'achrin yoser lovel beis haknesset mibachol. The custom is to go to shul on Shabbos later than during the week. And now I'm thinking in my head, is this really a custom? Like, everyone here has the custom to do this. Is it because that's the custom? Or maybe people work during the week, and therefore they have to wake up later. And there's not really a halachic reason, but they don't have work, hopefully, on Shabbos. Right? So that might just be the reason. But the Mordechai and the Ramah seem to assume, against Rashi and the Torah, that actually the custom is you shouldn't specifically wake up early to go to shul on Shabbos morning. If anything, it's the opposite. You should actually sleep longer, stay in your bed. If you would snooze an alarm on Shabbos, snooze your alarm on Shabbos. So the question is, how do the Mordechai and the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, there seems to be a problem. They seem to go against the Gemara. The Gemara says, we go early for Shabbos. We wake up early. So how could it be that they think we wake up late on Shabbos? Not my question. The Aruch HaShulchan says, v'zehu k'neged ha-gemara v'masech le-sofrim. This goes explicitly against the Gemara and the way that Masech le-sofrim / Rashi understands the Gemara. So how could it be we wake up late when we're supposed to wake up early? So we're going to suggest two answers, two different answers. One from the Prisha and the other one from the Aruch HaShulchan. So the Prisha answers, if you look in source number 7, starting in the second line in the Hebrew packet in the brackets, Nirlisha ein zed neged mashakasa ma'ril minag meharamash v'ramah. How are we going to fit the Gemara with the Ramina quoted by the Ramah. What does it mean? You know, imagine your bed. What does it mean, Meharin Lavo? It doesn't mean you got to get out of your bed earlier. It just means Memharin Lavo. You get up out of your bed on Shabbos.
Can't do anything.
You can't do anything. You didn't cook the chicken. It's too late to cook the chicken. So go straight to shul. Meharin Lavo. It means you can wake up later, but then get out of bed, then go to shul. Straight. However, on Yontif, what's going to happen? You get out of bed, then you got to make the meal. You know, you're going to start with the grill, and obviously not start the grill, continue the grill, and cook your food on the spot, and make this preparation, that preparation, and therefore you're not Mimharin Lavo, you're Me'achrin. So how the number one option, how are we reading Mimharin Lavo? It doesn't mean waking up early, rather means once you are up, rush to shul in the morning. That's approach number one. Again, side note, that doesn't really fit with Rashi. He says it fits with Rashi. Why does it not fit with Rashi? It might fit with the Torah. What does Rashi add? Rashi says, wake up early and daven kivasikin, which is sunrise. So it has nothing to do with how fast you get out of your bed. That might help you with the Torah and the simple understanding of the Gemara, but side note. That's approach number one. Approach number two is the approach of the Aruch HaShochan. The Aruch HaShochan notes, what were we talking about in the Gemara? What were we comparing and contrasting Shabbos with? We weren't comparing and contrasting Shabbos with during the week, and we're going to say that Shabbos is early. Rather, we're comparing Shabbos with Yontif. So they're both late. Shabbos is late, Yontif is late. Compared to Yontif, Shabbos is early. Why? Because you don't need a prep. So therefore, Shabbos is really also going to be late, and it just means that it's before Yontif. Again, still doesn't help you for Rashi, but that is the way that the Mordechai and the Ramah can read the Gemara. So just to summarize where we are so far, we had the line in our Gemara that we're going to go to rush to shul on Shabbos morning. Rashi understands, means wake up early, daven early, you know, hashkama, this is your mucker. If you're that hashkama, every community has like that hashkama Jew. Like this, if you're not doing hashkama, you're something wrong about it. You might not even be Jewish. So he's going to say, Rashi and Gemara, Rashi, Megillah of Gimel, Aleph, right? Got to wake up early. But how are the Mordechai and the Ramaz, whose minhag is to wake up late, how are they understanding? Either option one, it means go straight from your bed to shul without any prep, or two, in contrast to Yontif, it will be early. But in contrast to during the week, it will actually be much later. So those are the two ways that they're going to read the Gemara. And if you look at source number 9, the Ran just points out, he makes no mention of waking up earlier. He just points out, Shabbos, there's an Isser Malacha. So he could read the Gemara either the way the Prisha read the Gemara, go straight, or the Aruch HaShochan. Yeah.
I find it interesting doesn't talk about this minor.
Yes.
Meaning, you know, if you go to Hash government, you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, you still have to worry about Zmanim. The Mishnah Berurah, when he quotes the Minhag, actually makes sure to give a warning. Make sure not to miss my Kriya Shema if you die just because you're davening late. Yeah.
There's nothing here.
Yes, I did not put that on my sources. Okay. Daven early. If you're going to daven early like Rashi, make sure to daven after the Zman. That's normal and acceptable. And if you're going to daven late, make sure not to miss inappropriate Zman. Again, I'm not getting into Kriya Shema and what's Kriya Shema without the brachos. That's a whole down. So the question is, now we're going to shift focus from those two customs, namely Rashi versus the Mordechai, and now we're just really going to focus on the Mordechai. What is the reason to wake up late on Shabbos? You know, and let's just say we have a stake in the game. It sounds nice, right? We don't have to wake up early. It's a mitzvah maybe to even wake up late on Shabbos. That sounds amazing. I could do that mitzvah. You don't want to recruit people to Judaism, you know? How are you going to get them to become Jewish? Tell them. You get to sleep late on Shabbos and you get brownie points for it. You know, Hashem's happy if you do. Why would that be? So I don't know if you all saw the story in the Ma'aril. The Ma'aril is also an important halacha sefer for Ashkenazim. Source number 11. He tells the story that one time Shabbos Nachamu, the tzibur finished. Right? The tzibur finished, you know, and this is also a classic. There's a lot of hashkama jokes that you can make. It's a classic hashkama move. What's a hashkama person's favorite move to do? They don't just go home and enjoy and, oh, we finished early. They got to come in to the main minion and say, hey, we're already done. You guys are just starting. Right? That's obviously what you're going to do. So they finish. The Baal Batim have their main minion. They finish early. And all of the Kadin, they come to visit the Rebbe. The Rebbe was davening in the Beis Medrash with his Talmidim. And they're like, Rebbe, why'd you take so long to daven today? And he responded back, no. You guys have the opposite minug than I do. Your guys' minug is, you know, you every Shabbos, you wake up earlier than you do during the week. I actually do the opposite, where during the week I wake up early, but on Shabbos, I'm going to be marich b'sheinas shachris. I'm going to lengthen my sleep. And then he continues, why do I lengthen my sleep? What's the reason? He says, kidei, skipping a few lines, kidei shelo levatel sheinas shachris, dehu oneg Shabbos. It's enjoyment for Shabbos. So reason number one, why would we wake up late on Shabbos? Because there's a mitzvah of oneg Shabbos. There's a mitzvah to enjoy Shabbos. So you know what's really enjoyable?
Shaving.
Extra sleep. Extra sleep is great. I could tell you right now, I'm not going on that much sleep. I'm tired, but it would be much more enjoyable if I slept more. Right? So that is something that you'll be able to do on Shabbos. That is reason number one. Namely, why is there a custom to wake up late? It's for enjoyment on Shabbos. Reason number two is the Mordechai himself. So the Mordechai quotes a totally different reason, and this is going to take us slightly far afield, but really what ends up being the topic for the very interesting model for today, which is, he quotes the Minhag, and he says, let me tell you the reason. So starting at the end of the beginning of Source 12, the end of the first line, Zehu tam al shodavar, shebechol yimei ha-shavua. When the Torah talks about the Karban Tamid, again, every single day we offer two Tmidim, the Karban Tamid, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. And then there's also something called the Karban Musaf, and on different holidays there's different Musafs. So you have a Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, you have a Musaf of Pesach, you have a Musaf of Shabbos. So, here's the reason. Shebechol yimei ha-shavua nemar betamid shel shachar baboker baboker. It says, in the morning you're going to offer the Karban Tamid. What does in the morning imply? Early, right? In the morning. You don't want to wait. Uvetamid shel shachar de Shabbos lo nemer baboker. It doesn't say baboker. Ela uvayom ha-Shabbos. So what's the difference between baboker, uvayom ha-Shabbos? Baboker implies the morning. Uvayom ha-Shabbos implies the day. That's not the morning. So it's later. So therefore, it sounds like that the Tamid Shel Shachar, it says, Uvayom HaShabbos, V'lashon Zeh Mashma Ichor. And he says that this is the reason he heard from Rav Haigon, you know, who said it over to Rebar Yehuda in Roma, which is probably Rome, right? So this is the reason, namely, by the Tamid Shel Shachar, instead of using the word on Shabbos, instead of using the word Baboker, it says, Uvayom, to tell you that you have to delay. So reason number one is from the Ma'aril, Oneg Shabbos. Reason number two is the Mordechai, who says that instead of saying Baboker, like it normally says by the Karban Tamid during the week, it says Uvayom. Good, so far so good?
Do they think it's a rule to get up later, or is it a rule?
Okay. A rule slash mitzvah, not just a minhag, it sounds like, yeah. So the problem is that the Mordechai lied to us.
What?
Lied to us. That's not what the Torah says. The Torah doesn't say that, right? The Torah, he says that by the Karban Tamid of Shabbos, it doesn't say Baboker, it says Bayat, Uvayom. But if you look at the Bach, and the Bach is not the only one, the Magen Avraham, the Aruch HaShulchan, everyone's very upset at the Mordechai. Turning on to page 4 in the Hebrew. V'tema, dehalo bepasak Uvayom HaShabbos, eina nemer al hatamid. That has nothing to do with the Tamid Shel Shachar. Ella al Hamusuf Shel Shabbos. That's not talking about the Karban Tamid, which corresponds to the Shachris. That's referring to the Karban Musaf. Okay, so you're telling me that the Musaf needs to be later in the day, because it says Uvayom. But what does that tell me about the Karban Tamid? Right, Shachris, when we say Shachris every day, that corresponds to the Karban Tamid. So whatever we're going to say for the Karban Tamid is going to apply for Shachris. So if the Pasuk is not about the Karban Tamid, and instead is about the Karban Musaf, so what does that tell me about Shachris? What do you think? Absolutely nothing, right? Because if the Pasuk is about Shachris, so then it will tell me that I have to daven Shachris later. But if the Pasuk is about Musaf, then Musaf has to be later. Okay, so Musaf will be later, and Shachris will be earlier. You know, I'll hit up Shachris. I'll hit up Shachris at Hashkama. I won't daven Musaf yet. I'll go to two Kedushim. I'll go to Bar Mitzvah. I'll go to an Afrav, and then I'll daven Musaf. And I'll make sure that I got Uvayom HaShabbos of Musaf. So why does it matter that Musaf is going to be, say, Uvayom? So in order to answer that question, this question, all the Achronim are answering on asking on the Mordechai, we need to take a step back. And we need to examine the relationship between the carbon tamid and on Shabbos and the carbon musaf of Shabbos. So as I said before, every single day you are going to offer a carbon tamid. Every single day. Right? That's why it's carbon tamid. It's constant. We keep doing it every single day. Musafs are going to be offered on special days. So where does the Torah deal with most of the carbon musafs? Is going to be in Parshas Pinchas. In sources 15. So I don't know. Raise your hand if you thought that this cutout looked familiar.
Yeah.
Why does this cutout look familiar? We've seen it before.
Go but not in the morning.
Why? Where do we see this exact parsha with this exact picture on Mar Makomos? I'll give you a hint. I gave this year.
Yeah.
Anyone know? When do we learn this?
Rosh Chodesh.
Rosh Chodesh. Why do we speak about Rosh Chodesh? What do we do on Rosh Chodesh?
Halal.
Musaf. But what happened with the Kriyas HaTorah?
Laning.
What's the problem?
4-3.
Right. You notice that there's this, you know, glaring elephant in the room that Tes and Yud of the Shabbos Musaf. How many psukim are there to describe the Shabbos Musaf?
Two.
How many psukim do you need to read?
Three.
So then we have the Gra and we had all the different opinions about how we were going to solve the problem. But why does the problem exist in the first place? Right? Because there's two, we have the carbon tamid, and then, right, that's psukim aleph through ches. So all about the carbon tamid. And then we'll have, so we have carbon tamid for 8 psukim. Then we have 2 psukim about the carbon musaf of Shabbos. Okay, so that is the order in the Torah. So it's fascinating that those two things are right next to each other. And not only are they right next to each other, right? But what is it? The carbon musaf doesn't really have its own parsha. Because how many psukim does it have?
Two.
So this is one of the only parshios that we're going to have that we lane that is going to only be two. So why is there this phenomenon, right, that seems to link the carbon musaf with what came before it? It doesn't even get read by itself, right? We're going to have to read it together with the carbon tamid. So point number one, we're trying to show right now, just to explain the goal of what I'm trying to do and highlight. Again, this isn't my ha'aras, this is based on an article from my Rabbi Rav Rosenzweig. That Rav Rosenzweig pointed out that the parsha of the musaf of Shabbos appears right after the tamid, and you also can't read the musaf by itself. It needs to be done in tandem with the carbon tamid. So that seems to indicate, and this is going to be our thesis, that the carbon tamid and the carbon musaf of Shabbos have a special connection. That even though every time you're going to, every day, a special day, you're going to have a carbon tamid and a carbon musaf. You're going to have that on Rosh Hashanah, you're going to have that on Yom Kippur, you're going to have that on Pesach, you're going to have that on Sukkot, etc. Rosh Chodesh. The carb, specifically on Shabbos, there's going to be a special connection between the carbon tamid and the carbon musaf of Shabbos. And that's why, again, you're going to read the two of them together. You can't even have your own parsha. So what we're look right now, we're going to examine the psukim. We're going to look for phenomenon that it show us that there is a special relationship between the two. So number one is that they appear right after each other, and you can't even lay the carbon musaf by itself. Number two, what carbon do you offer? Right, what carbon do you offer? So you let's turn to source 16, which is the Chizkuni. So Rosenzweig will do this. It's a great methodology, which is he'll point out things that are noted by the commentators, and the commentators might have one explanation of this, but if they fit the broader point, you know, he'll get this point from the Chizkuni, but the Chizkuni gives his explanation, but Rav Rosenzweig will be able to say, hey, but this also fits my exact idea. It's a great move. So the Chizkuni says, hey, the only thing that's the exact same carbon as the carbon tamid, you know, of all the Musafin, which one? Is Shabbos, exactly. Shnei kvasim lo hitriach HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'musaf shel Shabbos yoser midai. That the same way you're going to offer, you know, we'll show a picture for Joel. These two little lambs. It's really unfortunate for them. On every single day. It's the exact same thing that we're going to offer for the musaf of Shabbos. So what does that show? It seems to show us that there's, again, this strong connection between the carbon tamid, where we're going to offer, again, these shnei kvasim, and the Musaf of Shabbos, which is the only Musaf, Elaha Musaf Shava Latamid. That's what the Chizkuni says in source number 16. So we have the placement slash the amount of Psukim. Then we also have that they're the exact same carbon. And then number three is the Chizkuni makes a note in source number 17 that there's no verb used in the beginning of the Psukim. Normally when the Torah introduces the Karbanos in Parshas Pinchas, it's going to say, and you shall offer, or you should do. But by the carbon musaf, there's no mention of that. So the Chizkuni has his whole answer. It's how respect for Shabbos. We don't want to publicize the work that we're doing. But Rav Rosenzweig says it sets perfectly with my idea. Why? Because there's no separate action of the musaf. It's just building off of the previous action that you did at the carbon tamid. Exactly. Exactly. So we have, again, the order of the psukim slash the parshios, the carbon. There's no specific verb. And finally, one more point, is that all the other musafin not only have an ola component, but they also have achatas, that we're going to offer some type of sin offering. However, Shabbos, there's no chatas. No chatas. It needs to be kula l'Hashem. It needs to be an ola, which means that it's going to be totally burnt to Hashem. No one's going to eat it. Eat it. So the Chizkuni again makes this about respect for Shabbos. It's not respectful to shech the carbon that we're going to be eaten specifically on Shabbos. It's not respectful to Shabbos. But Rosenzweig says, no, that's the whole point is an ola has no chatas. The carbon tamid has absolutely no chatas. It's just offered to Hashem to be al reach nichoach as a pleasant aroma. Similarly, the carbon musaf is going to follow exactly suit because it's going to be the exact same as the carbon tamid. So just to pause, even if you weren't with me on every single point, is what emerges from the psukim is that there's a unique and special relationship between the tamid offering, the daily tamid offering that we're going to do again every day, and the carbon musaf of Shabbos. Again, via the amount of psukim, the lack of verb, the offering of the same carbon, and also the fact that there's not going to be a chatas. Yes?
You have to give a different animal.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And that highlights that these are really going to be a strong relationship between them. And one more point which Rav Rosenzweig made in the Rambam, so we've spoken about it in the past in this slot, of how the Rambam begins all the halachas. It's called, the Bar Ilan calls it the Hakdama, but it's more famously known as the Koteres, which is basically him outlining the mitzvos that are going to appear in each of the sections in his halachic work, Mishnah Torah. So the Rambam, in this context, notes how he says the differences. If you look at Yud and Yud Aleph, which are, and you can look at all the other Musafim, they appear the exact same way. What's the mitzvah? Yud Yud Aleph, in source number 19. Musaf Rosh Chodeshim. You know, the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. Musaf HaPesach. But what does he say by Shabbos in Ches? Lehosif Shnei Kvasim Olos B'Shabbos. To add two lambs that olas on Shabbos. And that's the exact same language that he has by the Tamid. In Aleph, lahakriv shnei kvasim b'chol yom olos. So you see a parallel in the way he's going to line up. We have the Tamid. You're going to offer two lambs. And then you're going to add two on Shabbos. What does add two imply? That there's going to be this
connection
and relationship. So Rav Rosenzweig then suggests, again, in only a way that Rav Rosenzweig can, source number 20, this article actually is a fairly new article. It actually appeared in Rav Schechter's, they put out a sefer for Rav Schechter, I think it's called a Teres Tzvi. It was for in honor of Rav Schechter's 80th birthday. So a lot of Rav Schechter's Talmidim and fellow Rashi Yeshiva wrote articles. So that's where Rav Rosenzweig wrote this article. And he basically explains why is it that the Musaf of Shabbos is going to be more connected than the Musaf of every other day to the Talmud. Why is that going to be? Again, he has a bunch of reasons. One of which is, did the Yom Tovim exist at the time of creation? No. So already from creation, Shabbos was going to coincide with the Karban Tamid, right? So that's something that's built into the world. Again, he speaks about the significance of day one and day seven, the relationship between days and weeks. In order to be a week, you need days, and the mutual relationship between them. Again, the Shabbos spilling over to the rest of the week, and that might be reflected by the fact that we say the Shir Shal Yom, Yom Yom Shlishi, the Shabbos, for according to the Ramban, that might be a mitzvah of remembering Shabbos. But basically to show us this idea that there's this relationship between the carbon tamid of Shabbos. And this ultimately is going to answer for us the question of the Mordechai. How is this going to answer the question of the Mordechai? Anyone have any ideas based on what we said? What was the question on the Mordechai? The question on the Mordechai was, we have a custom to wake up late on Shabbos because it says, Uvayom HaShabbos by the... He says, Tamid Shel Shachar, but really it's about the Musaf. Why would he say that? It could be, and this is, again, more emerges from the Magen Avraham instead of the Bach, but I didn't translate the Magen Avraham for you, but that perhaps we need to do the Musaf later, based on Uvayom HaShabbos. And therefore what?
Can do wake up later.
You need to wake up later. Why? Because we're going to connect the musaf and the tamid. Because based on the Torah Shabbosav and the Rambam, that there's a special connection between the carbon musaf of Shabbos and the tamid. So if the musaf needs to be later, so too the Tumid needs to be later, and that's why we're going to wake up to shul on Shabbos. So now when they tell you on Shabbos morning, you're going to wake up late, and your wife's going to ask you why. And you're going to explain to them, it's because we're trying to connect the carbon tumid with the carbon musaf. Tell it, call me.
Rabbi, Musaf Rosh Chodesh, what happened?
So Musaf Rosh Chodesh is Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. So the relationship between the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh and the tumid, the Rosenzweig talks about in his footnotes. And it could be that it's somewhere in between. It's not as strong a connection between as Shabbos and during the week and Tamid, but it might be stronger than, for example, Sukkot.
It'd be on my level. Go ahead.
Okay. We can talk afterwards. But that is exactly the point. Basically, what we're trying to do, and this is what the Mordechai means, is that since there's this special relationship between the Tamid and the Musaf Shel Shabbos, I'm going to quote a pasuk that is talking about Musaf, but that's going to tell me about when I wake up in shul on Shabbos morning. Everyone clear about that point?
Yeah.
It's two simple points. There's a relationship between the carbon Musaf of Shabbos and the carbon Tamid, and therefore, even if I quote a pasuk about the carbon Musaf, that's going to show me and teach me about the carbon Tamid, and therefore, Shabbos. Clear? Okay. So there's going to be a few issues impacted by this. Number one is the question of the lotteries. They used to do a lotteries to see which Kohanim are going to do which of the Avodas. Is there a separate lottery for the Karban Musaf of Shabbos? So you would think, yes, why not? So the Tosas Yeshanim in source number 24 said he's not sure. And how does the Rambam Pasuk in source 25, did you guys get a chance to see it? Source 25, Hilchos Tvinim Musaf and Dalates. Exactly. Whoever wins the lottery for the Tamid Shel Shachar, he's going to do the Musaf. Why would that be?
Because they're connected.
Exactly, because of this strong connection. Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
So you would have thought before that you don't have to do it. You would have a whole separate lottery. But now that we understand, based on Rav Ruzinsarg's idea, that the Karban Tamid and the Karban Musaf Shabbos are strongly connected, once you do the lottery for the Tamid Shel Shachar, you're going to do the lottery for the Karban Musaf. Okay, so that's Nafkamina number one. Nafkamina number two, a ramification number two, is the idea to have an identical appearance. So this is more famous in the context, anyone know when you have to have two identical animals for
Yom Kippur,
right? The Shnei Seirim. So in that context, that's on a Samach Beis and Aleph, and then Samach Beis and Beis, so the Gemara says in Source 26, Musafin Shel Shabbos, Vadai Shrichin Sheyu Shnei and Shavin. The same idea is going to apply to the Musafs. So those two little, cute things it was much cuter in the color. I think it made it easier. Those two lambs that you're going to offer, they have to be identical. And Rashi has two opinions, whether that might even be Ma'akiv. You might not even be Yotze, the carbon Musaf. They're not. He has two opinions whether that's going to be the case. However, the Mishnah Malach in source number 28 points out that the Rambam actually drops this requirement. Why would the Rambam drop this requirement? So Rav Rosenzweig suggested that the Gemara, again, the previous Gemara, right before that Gemara, ends up concluding that you don't need that requirement by the Karban Tamid. So if you don't need that requirement by the Karban Tamid, then what? Then you don't need it by the Musaf either. So even though the Gemara is going to tell me that really they should be shoving, the Rambam's not going to tell me that they need the two lambs need to be identical. Why? Because if the two lambs by the tummy don't need to be identical, so too you don't need to be identical by the carbon musaf, even though the Gemara told me that you are, because again, for the Rambam, there's such a strong fundamental connection between the Karban Tamid and the Karban Masav Shal Shabbos. One more point, which is, when do you say the Karbanos of Masav? Our minhag is to say it in Shmona Es, right? But Rav Avram Gon thinks that right after you say the Karban Tamid of the morning on Shabbos, you're going to say
Musaf.
The Musaf. Why would that be?
Because they're connected.
Exactly,
but
exactly.
They're not connected. So get out of that one.
Got you to shul.
So again, different. Again, a lot of it might depend what the role of saying the karbanos in tefillah. Why they're different minhagim? It could be that not everyone agrees to this idea. But basically, what we're arguing is again, let's just review what we saw, and then we'll end. Is that we saw that the Gemara tells us you hurry to come to shul on Shabbos. Rashi says that means to wake up early. The Mordechai says no. The minhag's actually wake up later. How does that fit with the Gemara? We suggested the reason maybe you just go straight from your bed or compare it to Yontif. But really, compared to during the week, it would be later. Those are the two ways. And then we said, what's the reason of the minhag? Either it's to be able to sleep more in its onik Shabbos, or possibility number two is that it says uvayom by the karban tamid of shachris. But then all the achronim are bothered. It doesn't say uvayom. So we ended up suggesting, based on Torah Shavachsav and the Rambam, that really that there's going to be this idea that there's a strong connection between the karban tamid and the musaf shel Shabbos. And therefore, that's going to spill over to things like the lottery and identical in appearance, and when we should say karbanos. And that really, the idea I think is a very powerful one of how there's a mutual relationship between our Shabbos and during the week. And those two things aren't, you know, oftentimes, especially when you're working, it can feel like two isolated experiences. There's like the week in work, etc., versus and what am I doing during the week, and then there's Shabbos, and it's like a very different. And the point is that actually we're making a strong connection and relationship between the two, and that Shabbos is supposed to impact the way that we do our week. And our week is also supposed to be the way that we impact Shabbos. Again, it connects to the Ramban al-Torah about the Mizmor Shiras. But for that, we'll leave to the side for right now. Just